Welcome to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. Up next is the audiobook by Dr. Billy Brim, The Blood and the Glory, read by her daughter Shelley Brim. This classic teaching will guide you to discover the truth about the blood of Jesus and the glory of God. Stay tuned to the end of our broadcast to find out more on Billy Brim Ministries' next authority conference hosted near Tulsa, Oklahoma, April 27th through the 29th. This is a free special Tulsa, Oklahoma event. For more information, visit billybrim.org or call 417-336-4877.
From behind me, high and to the right, I heard a voice. It probably was not audible, but to me it seemed almost audible. When the question came, I knew it was the Lord. Do you know Romans 3:23? My first thought was, thank God it's one I know. I grew up in Baptist churches. Baptists lead people to the Lord down the Roman road. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 is the first step. So I whirled toward the voice and quoted rather glibly at first, for all have sinned and come short of... I gasped as I saw it. The last four words fell feebly from my lips, trailing almost to a whisper, the glory of God. The voice spoke the revelation I'd glimpsed. That's what happened in the fall. I crowned man with glory. Man sinned and fell short of the glory. I felt I would faint with the revelation of the fall from such glorious heights to such heinous depths. Then the voice literally revived me with words based on Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. But the captain of your salvation is bringing many sons to glory. I saw it for the first time, the circle of glory. Man was crowned with glory. He fell from the glory. Through Jesus Christ, he can return to the glory. Then in a flash of revelation across my spirit, I saw the predicament of the fall. To the right, high and lifted up, was the place of the throne of God. To the left, low and very low, stood Satan with man clinging at his side. Between the two places there was a great gulf fixed. I heard these words. You always look at the fall from man's viewpoint. I want you to look at it from my point of view. Within my spirit, an automatic response arose. I will be happy to, if you are pleased to show it to me. The reaction of a natural man to a fallen son is to grab him and clasp him to his bosom. Had I clasped Adam to my bosom, I would have consumed him. My glory would have burned him up. And in him, mankind. Satan would have stopped my words from coming to pass. For I had spoken that man would have dominion over the works of my hands. Then I saw my first son, Terry. He stood tall, broad-shouldered, and thin at the waist with a silver buckle fastening the leather belt around his blue jeans. I felt an urge to throw my arms around his middle in a tight squeeze. What if you could not hug your son? For if you hugged him, you would consume him. I'm a hugging mother. So the Holy Spirit taught me with a hugging mother parable. Back then, when I hugged Terry, he would sometimes say, "Aw, Mom." But he liked it, and so did I. I couldn't imagine not being able to hug him. In fact, I quickly considered how I probably would forget and he would be destroyed. I somehow felt a little of God's position at the fall of man. And in a new way, I understood how sin cannot stand in the presence of God. It is written, "For our God is a consuming fire." Hebrews 12, verse 29. What does he consume? Sin. I understood the precautions of the Old Testament. God's glory stood behind a thick curtain in the Holy of Holies. The high priest alone could enter there once a year on the Day of Atonement, and then he took great precautions. It wasn't that God did not want mankind in his presence. It was that man could not endure the glory of God. I thought of when David brought up the Ark of the Presence on a cart, rather than in the way God had instructed them to carry it for their own safety. When the oxen stumbled, Uzzah reached out to steady the ark and died. It wasn't that God was just waiting to get him. God's glory broke forth to judge sin when the two came into contact. 2 Samuel chapter 6, 1 Chronicles chapter 13. Again, I saw the scene with Satan clasping the cowering man and laughing up at God across the gulf. He thought he had won. He thought he succeeded in separating God and his man forever. Satan knew that Adam, who once delighted in the presence of God, would now be consumed by it. His whining words ran together as he sneered over and over at God. What you gonna do now? What you gonna do now? What you gonna do now? I was made to know that God did not answer him. But I also knew that God had a plan. A plan which began in heaven before the foundation of the world. God did not need to know anything now. He already had done something. The mystery of the church. The New Testament calls God's plans mysteries. The Companion Bible says the English word mystery is a transliteration of the Greek word mysterion, which means a sacred secret, something concealed that can be revealed. Some of the mysteries the New Testament speaks about are the mystery of Israel, Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, the mystery of iniquity, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, and the mystery of the church, numerous references. God concealed his plan for the church throughout the Old Testament. Prophets prophesied about it while they wondered of what and of whom they were speaking. Even the gospel writers did not grasp the meaning of the mystery. It was not until a man named Paul came along that God revealed what he had concealed, the mystery of the church. The Holy Spirit, through Paul, refers to it as the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, Romans 16, verse 25. The mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, Ephesians 3, verse 9. What a hiding place! It seemed to me there was a door in the midst of God marked Top Secret. When I saw the following passage, I saw where the mystery led. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. When did he ordain the plan? Before the world. For what purpose? Unto our glory. Hallelujah! Consider how strong this verse is in the Amplified Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But rather, what we are setting forth is a wisdom of God, once hidden from the human understanding, and now revealed to us by God. That wisdom, which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification, that is, to lift us into the glory of His presence. To lift us into the glory of His presence. Hallelujah! Now let's go on with the passage from the King James Version. We'll pick it up again at verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The Father of glory, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, sent the Lord of glory to lift up the man who had been crowned with glory, but had fallen from the glory, back into the glory of His presence. Do you see why I came to call the Bible the story of the glory? If Satan had seen the plan, he never would have lifted God's spotless lamb to the altar of the cross, where His innocent blood could be shed to cleanse man to once again stand in the glory of God's presence. The crux of the mystery is stated succinctly in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Imagine Satan's dismay when the first man was born again, when he saw that the Anointed One came to take up abode inside the man and to become his hope of glory. I can picture the devil replacing his "What you gonna do now?" chant with a cry of "Curses, foiled again," and falling backwards. Since Jesus arose, when a person believes in his heart that Jesus died on the cross and that God raised Him from the dead and confesses with his mouth the Lord Jesus, he is saved.
Thank you for listening to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. What you just heard was from Dr. Billy Brim's audiobook, The Blood and the Glory, read by her daughter, Shelley Brim. Live near Tulsa, Oklahoma, April 27th through the 29th. Join Dr. Billy Brim for our authority conference at our home church in a glorious church fellowship. Save the dates and make your plans now to join the upcoming Authority Conference near Tulsa, April 27th through the 29th. Joining Dr. Billy Brim in these powerful meetings will be Chip and Shelley Brim. For more information about the Tulsa Area Authority Conference, visit billybrim.org or call 417-336-4877.